Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Yes, I'm on. Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is finally Wednesday, October 16th. And it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Neri and I shall be your host for today. Today, I don't necessarily have anything specific to talk about, right? It's going to be one of those open lying Wednesday. But of course, you know that on Wednesday, we have Mashup Man Down Wednesday, when we combine both shows and merge them together, mash them up together, and we tend to analyze the news. Today, I wanted to give some time to have a discussion about our telephone callers. But I wanted Erin to be here because she tends to get some peculiar telephone calls, so peculiar when she's on air, and I wanted to give voice to that. But she went to walk down her gate, so I'll buy the time until she comes back upstairs so we can talk about the types of texts. Boy, Erin's got some texts, eh? The type of texts that Erin... I get some strange texts, too. Boy, sometimes these people call you everything but the Son of God. And then you got to wait and say, Lord, I wonder if Erica could allow me to talk about this. And mind you, Erica does work, right? Every so often, they call my name. They call Erin name a lot. Dwight, once or twice. Howard. I do? No. Oh, okay. Erin's asking me if I have a guest. I don't have any guests today. Every so often, your names get called, and then they tend to inquire whether we are doing things properly as talk show hosts, right? And we have a team that tends to manage us and guide us to make sure that we are not doing anything untowards, not prohibited, not following the rules of IRCA. And then every so often, we tend to say to one or two callers, no, man, you can't call here no more. You are breaking all the rules. Everything we try to follow and the guidelines we follow, and you tend to do the opposite. Even though we caution you once, twice, three times, four times, right? And we try to be open. At least I've been instructed to always be open, not to block people, because I'm one of those people, block. Yeah, I ain't got to read that no more. And then management said, no, you don't block them. Just don't read their text no more. Right? So that's one of the things I want to talk about. I want to talk about why such decisions is being made. I also want to give tribute to Herald, one or two people who were being honored recently, right? The honorees for our national heroes. You know, that our national heroes was recent, and a number of young Bahamians were honored, and I want to give kudos to them, recognition to them. I'm proud to see people my age, I ain't that old yet, right? My age being recognized nationally. I'm happy to see a number of people who have toted the line, who have put their shoulder to the wheel over the years, have been recognized nationally, right? Posthumously. And that our government saw fit, that people saw fit to recommend to our government. We need to have an educational process in terms of having more people be recommended, right? So that number increase, I think it's one of the largest numbers. I should have had that note earlier. But I'm happy to do that. I think 2 days marks the anniversary. And I hate recognizing this, right? Of with that German who mash up Columbus' leg?
Archangel Michael?
Yeah, the Archangel. That's a peculiar German who mash up Columbus' leg. Since then, we have no clue where the Columbus statue, the 200-300-year-old Columbus statue, multi-million-dollar statue, is located at this present time.
You know where Archangel Michael located? We don't know where. You know where he's located?
I assume he's still in prison. I was hoping.
And this would mark the 2-year anniversary?
Yeah, but a second. But
see, here's my thing. That means his sentence is probably longer than 2 years, right?
He just disappear.
And so he has an extended sentence, right? A lengthy sentence considering the crime. They let the whole space lay derelict for how long?
The space, derelict is a harsh word. I'm not sure if it's derelict or different. It's a different space now.
Because they're renovating it now.
No, they're not renovating it now. They're renovating government house, but not the space. The space where Columbus is, the marker that says Columbus, right, 1492, mm-hmm. is still there. Mm-hmm. Tourists are able to pass there and take pictures of the empty space and still commemorate Columbus.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's very meta.
The story is continued, and then the taxi drivers are able to tell the story about even Mark. What is it? Archangel Michael?
Yeah.
To tell the story of him, but Columbus has continued to be heralded. Especially during October, because the marker is still there. But since you're here, I was waiting for you to come back in. I wanted to have a conversation about abuse of some of the text line, some of the people who text us, some of the callers, chronic callers, right? And why we make certain decisions. I wanted to have that discussion, even though this is an open line Wednesday, mm-hmm. and to interrogate what's happened. But one particular caller, and I was waiting for you to come in, even mm-hmm. though I started the conversation. One particular caller, we have decided not to allow to call the station. Mind you, at one particular point in time, right, the caller was banned or not allowed to call any of our talk shows. And we have talk shows that start as early as 6 o'clock and end at about 6:30, mm-hmm. right? And then you had that declaration. And of course, over time, one of the talk shows, you know, they'll allow the caller despite mm-hmm. what they did. Right? And then people, because just recent as yesterday, I got a text and say, why do y'all continue to ban certain callers, right? Mm-hmm. And I say, you know, you need to hear the story. And today I feel comfortable. I say, you know what? Today I'm going to allow this conversation to happen. Mm-hmm. So the conversation could be hashed out properly. And I said, I'm going to tell Aaron and say, most of it is hard part of the story because Aaron's get some texts, right? And I said, I can let this happen so we know. You ready to move the text line, right? In case you get more texts. Once upon a time, you were hosting a show. Mm-hmm. I sit next to you, you're hosting the show. And one of the callers you allowed to speak. Mm-hmm. He's speaking. And of course, you said, man, thanks. The show over. Right? You can't continue with the stream of which you were having the conversation on. The person get mad. We might call a name soon. The person got mad. The person then went to the text line, right? And sent all kind of vile texts with expletives to the Guardian text line, yeah, my text line, right? Mm-hmm. Blatant, graphic. You know, you could picture a whole movie how graphic the text lines were. So, of course, management decided, no, this can't happen. This is abusing the talk show hosts, right? Anytime they don't get their way, it's always that salacious text. But this text are gone above and beyond, right? The caller gone above and beyond and start sending videos. Vile videos, graphic videos, pornographic videos again. And then they start attaching talk show host faces to the vile videos. I mean, if you see how vile and vicious and obscene the videos were, anyone who saw it was being taken aback and say, why? What's this venom? Mm-hmm. What's this hate? What's this filth? right? So again, management said, no. This current from 0 to 60, this is a mental health issue, right? Something is wrong. This person is wicked, right? And like I said, all of the talk shows hosts decided, no, we're not going to allow this. And I guess over time, some people are forgiving, right? The three shows in the morning tend to make sure, keep the band in place. And I say all of that to have Aaron continue the story, and then we'll move on and talk about what's happening in the news.
I think it's prompted by what happened yesterday on your show.
Yes.
And I think that's worthy of note, right? So yesterday on your show, we got a call.
Hold on. I'm going to read this text. Mr. Nuri, can Sparky call into your show today? Answer, no. Talk to Dwight. See? Now, I mean, I said it before, repeatedly. You sent text, but now you hear it online. No. Talk to Dwight. And now we can explain why shortly. Go ahead.
Right, so yesterday, I think I got a message. Somebody I saw was like, hey, man, why you hang up on the caller on somebody else's show, right? And so I explained to them why. And then I explained to them why I have been hesitant to broach the subject on air. And so yesterday, a regular caller, Sparky, called, and as soon as I identified his voice, I hung up the call. Right, and for some listeners are wondering, why is Sparky not allowed to call at least Miss Green's show and some of the shows? So on a Thursday, Sparky called in and he was telling a very long story. It was kind of off the subject, but it was entertaining enough to let him talk. And I let him talk for an extended amount of time, and then we ended the show. The next day on a Sports Friday, Miss Sparky wanted to call in again, and I indicated that the story that you want to tell is not relevant to the subject matter that we're talking about right now or any of the sports stories on my slate, and you call back another day. Today is not the day. This upset the gentleman, and he called back three more times. On the fourth time, he attempted to, I guess, usurp my authority as a host and addressed only my co-hosts. In hopes that my co-host would address him despite me saying no. That was a Friday. Various texts came into the text line over the next couple of days. And then I was alerted to a voice note and a video. The person who shared the voice note and video with me said, Green, you don't need to see the rest. Right, you don't need to see the rest of the foolishness that's been sent out, but I'm sharing this with you. It was an obscene video. It was a pornographic video. And the caption on the video indicated that this was my intimate partner in the video performing a pornographic act. The video was almost 8 minutes long. I'm not going to tolerate attacks of that nature. The voice note indicated that they were going to approach every office in the land, including the Governor General, to have my show removed from the air because I wouldn't entertain their call at a particular time. Those types of attacks and threats are intolerable. I didn't want to share the reason why the individual has been banned from my show on air because I felt that sharing this information, right, that it would injure the individual, right? Like, it's not proportionate to the act, but the insistence, the continued bullying is intolerable. And as a radio host, I do not have to accept it. And as a female radio host, I will not accept it. I will not do anything that creates an environment where that individual or other individuals feel that a woman in a public space is open to attacks of that nature. And for what? Because they determined not to entertain your call on that particular day? I am sorry that it has gone this far, but that has been out of my control. And so the conversation is a broader conversation. I hope that we broaden it to talk about this new social and cultural space that has been created by the opening of the airwaves. It's a wonderful opportunity to talk about how we engage each other and how we engage each other when we think that we are safe because technology creates a barrier or a distance between you and the individual that you are attacking. I hope that this broadens into a wider conversation about creating safe environments for everybody involved. See, it's not about attacking a gay woman. You attacked a media personality, but you created an even less safe space for a gay woman who is also a media personality, for a media personality who is also a gay woman. It is intolerable. And I could go on and talk about where I think these behaviors stem, but what I will say is this, is that those at the top have an opportunity to shift the culture and create a different environment for Bahamians by modeling the behavior that they expect citizens to model also. Prior to the PLP election, I said the greatest task that the Prime Minister will have at his foot is causing his peers, his colleagues, and ordinary Bahamians and people resident in the country, whether temporarily as tourists or as expats or as migrants, his greatest task will be causing people to govern themselves and discipline themselves. Because the models that you operate creates the world that we live in. Now, I am a person that has a degree of power. I have a degree of agency. And people say, man, Miss Green, you and Jeffrey Lloyd gone to the same school. All you're like is 10-pound words. It's a degree of privilege that I have that I can use to protect myself. But there are others out there that do not and are under even more relentless attacks from people in the community, in the workplace, and in the church that think it's acceptable to wield power and to threaten people who will not just bow to your bullying. Again, I didn't want to talk about it because it's also painful for me to have these experiences in my community. But if it's if it can be a teaching moment, then let's talk about it. And that is the reason why Sparky cannot call my show and I will not read any of his texts. And that's why I hung up the phone on Mr. Newry's show. And he didn't have to tell me anything. I know he have a wife, and I know he have a girl child. And that's all I needed to know to make the decision. Today is Character Day. Let's take this opportunity to decide which characters that we want to model in ourselves and for other people. Let's be the best of who we are. Because we can be. It's up to us. Thank you, Mr. Newry.
Yeah, man. We're good. I just wanted to make sure people understand what's happening and why there was I wouldn't say ban, you know, because we every so often, Sparky's is not allowed to call from one day to now, right? Mm-hmm. He continues to do it. He just can't help himself. But I want to move from there. I want to talk about National Heroes Day. One or two people I am familiar with was honored. I am very impressed with that. I'm proud to know that I'm associated with them. I'm very excited to know that a number of people were recognized posthumously, mm-hmm. who I'm familiar with, and they do the recognition. I wanted to say that there are a number of young people. When I say young people, people under 50 or around that 50 and below age have been recognized. I want to commend the government and their support regarding black I say, always say Blackheath or Paul Blackheath. Mm-hmm. But that's what the narrative started off as, Paul Blackheath and her plight. And now they have labeled her as being Kate Moss. Right? I appreciate the government for listing the, I think it's 6 national heroes we have now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember the names. Sir Lyndon was one. Cecil Wallace Whitfield, I'm almost sure. Randall Fox. Simonette was another one. Let's see how much I count so far. Simonette, Fox, Sir Lyndon. Then Blackheath is another one. I think that's the total of them right now. Milo Butler.
I'm not talking because I'm pulling up the list.
Yeah, and Milo Butler. They are our 6 national heroes mm-hmm. that we need to continuously remind Bohemians that these are the people we herald and support because they made a significant impact on the development of the Bahamas.
You know what?
Mm-hmm.
I would love the School of Oral... Is it oral history?
Mm-hmm.
Public and oral history.
Yeah, sir.
And maybe, and the university more broadly, and AMMC and Christopher Davis to embark upon a project to track the lineage, track Kate Moss's lineage. Because Moss ain't her last name. See, like when you told that part, I thought it was so important that the narrative she was known as,
yes.
as Poor Black Kate.
Yes.
And now she's recognized as Kate Moss. And I can't recognize her as Kate Moss, right? A project to attempt to trace the lineage of Kate Moss.
Mm.
If we could find out what her real name was. Because Kate Moss was in her real name. The same way Muffin ain't your real name, but we can always celebrate you, Muffin.
Yeah.
Always.
And also, for those who want to appreciate the story or a historical fiction, right, you can read Dr. Ian Strawn's book, and he gives a narrative, a mm-hmm. fictional narrative of what may have happened to Kate Moss. And it's worth reading. And this also propelled the government to say, yes, we should recognize her. Another person I want, and I'm lobbying again for, mm-hmm. so you know, I've been lobbying for Kate Moss for some years, but I'm now lobbying for Hathaway, who is an AWAC. Born in the Bahamas, right? Mm-hmm. In the Acklands Islands. So he's an Acklands Island AWAC, right? Who emigrated to Hispaniola, Haiti and Dominican Republic, and led the first revolution against Columbus himself. War. Had 30 whatever canoe boats sailing to Cuba to warn those people in Cuba that... there are invasive people are coming and they're enslaving us. We must declare war on them. And him, the idea that he was born here in the Bahamas as an AWAC chieftain, a cacique, mm-hmm. right? I think as we pay homage to the AWAC people, right? Mm-hmm. We need to adopt that story, craft that story, define that story, and embrace him too as a national hero in the future.
So absolutely.
I'm hoping that we do that also in the future. He's already a national hero in Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
And they acknowledge that he was born in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
So we too need to follow suit.
Where Papa Doc from?
Well, they say he born in Nagua.
In Agua.
But we know that last name, Duvalier, is a Haitian surname. That's why he was able to go back and be prime minister.
Yeah, but at that point in time, there were... So 70 years ago, apparently, there were as many Bahamians living in Haiti as there were Haitians living in the Bahamas, and trade and such was entirely different from how it exists today. Is it possible that a similar living dynamic existed where Bahamians and Haitians married and shared names without this heavy xenophobic weight on, and nationalist political weight on it?
I know we have a number of callers, and I'd be happy to tell you some stories about our interaction with Hispaniola, Haiti in particular, especially in the southern islands, right? At one point in time, there were the Haitian government claimed Inagua for themselves, said that's their island. And the British government had to go and petition, said, no, that isn't part of Haiti. Inagua actually is part of the Bahamas. In fact, the Haitian, I think he was... not an emperor.
See, because, I mean, we don't know what Papa Doc tell them.
No, but this is before that.
Okay, I just check it.
Papa Doc is
it.
Late on. I'm talking about early 1800s when Haiti, the government of Haiti. I don't know if was like an emperor or king, because you know Haiti gone through so many different
political regimes. Systems. Yep. Yeah.
They attempted to sell Inagua to the United States, and that's where the row came out. The United States was going to buy.
It's going to sail right past Andres,
and
Nassau, and to Haiti to go back to Inagua.
And Bahamian history is sweet, you know, and some more of us need to start studying it and recognizing our closeness. And at one point in Inagua, the majority of residents in Inagua spoke Creole. Mm-hmm. At one point in time,
Inagua and a couple other southern islands were capitals, and then remained economic capitals until the politics shifted the economics.
And we move into tourism. But let's get some of these callers and to join the conversation. And we'll continue those stories if you want. I can tell you when that scene, in quote, Emperor Prince, when he's exiled out of Haiti, he and his men were exiled to Inagua, and that they had like 400 or 500 strong of Haitian military living in Inagua at one point in time, and then they were asked to leave, right? Oh. And then I can even tell stories about when the French government do a blockade of the Bahamas and said, if we allow any more Haitian migrants to come to the Bahamas, because we had know that mulatto and white Haitians was moving upwards after the Haitian Revolution, and said, if we allow any more here, they will invade the Bahamas. So that's all history too, right? And also they had some riots where they called French blacks. And we know where French blacks mean inside off East Street.
We don't have to go that far back to talk about legacy building and empires. We could just look at today's papers.
There you
but
go.
I see we have callers on
yes,
the line.
Yes, and forgive me for that. Let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? I'm sorry for the long rant. Call Graham once. Call Graham twice. Let's go to the next one. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Call Graham once. Call Graham twice. Sorry about that, callers. I saw you, and I just wanted to finish that point. I don't want to hear the story, so I said, let me throw one or two of those in terms of our relations to...
Because it's about it's about a sense of self, a sense of space, a sense of time. And with the conversation we had earlier today about Character Day, right, and the many conversations that you bring to the table from your perspective as a genealogist, right, as a crafter of family trees, one thing I know that a big part of... character building is about identity, right? Your sense of self, and your sense of self is often crafted through understanding your lineage, where you're from, who your people are, the contributions that you and your lineage has made to the past, right? To history, to communities, to countries. And so it's so important for people to know who they are. And then when you know who you are, then pronounce his name again.
Hathaway.
Then you know that Hathaway just ain't a boy on a malt can.
Yeah.
You know that Hathaway was born in the Bahamas. Led the first revolution against Columbus, right? And that you come from a people that are not as passive as you've been led to believe, or not passive in the ways that you have been led to believe, giving you a deeper and better sense of self.
Bahamians need to appreciate that there were like two or three different types of native indigenous people living in the Bahamas. They had the Lucayans.
Mm-hmm.
They had the Lucayans who were living here. They had the Tainos who came from Cuba, right, who were living here with them, right? And then it could be an argument that the Latinos spoke the Arawak language, but they, like the Lucayans, but there are two different people who spoke the same language, right?
Mm-hmm.
The idea that these were the Lucayan Islands, that was our first name, the Lucayan Islands, the Bahamas, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need to do more to commemorate the original people here, right? Mm-hmm. And as we move forward in terms of Heroes Day, Columbus Day, moving to a new Bahamas, we need to define our tribute to those original people. Mm-hmm. So I believe suitful way would be to honor Hathaway.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely.
But this is a caller there. I see we getting okay. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good day. Good morning, Aaron and Cecil.
Morning.
It's so funny that you have a nice segue going here. You started off with just a gross misrepresentation of freedom of the airwaves. That he would, the Right Honorable Ingram, I guess, passed into law when his time in office. And I was just thinking about how yesterday, as citizens, we could voice our opinion on what we think the climate and the growth of our country is, and then you have this abuse of what we, I don't know, the freedom. But it's a micro and a macro understanding of what you're talking about with the last names, because even if you go back all the way to pre-British Bahamas, where most of our names are British, but they are pretty much bastardized into what we know as modern-day English. But I truly believe that most Bahamians, or if not all, have Haitian descent in them. Because before the Europeans came to this side of the hemisphere, we had shipping routes, we had trade routes. If you go down to Clifton and you hear the stories with Christopher Davis, he'll explain to you how the Arawaks were able to derive, get the conch out of the shell with no modern tools today, and they use two holes, which is still a mystery that we don't know about. So if we could just, on a microscopic level, just think about how the Arawaks got the conch out of the conch shell, think about all of the other things that they were doing with the Caribbean, the trade routes, the language, the barter system, and it's all being destroyed today because we want to be Europeanized, and we want it our way, with no apology for our roots. But continue to do the good work, Cecil. I want you to have more shows like this, so one day we'll be able to wake up, and we won't lose our behavior culture in the near future. Thank you for taking my call.
I appreciate it. Thanks very much. As we talk about freedom of press, freedom of speech, opening up the airwaves, mm-hmm. right? I see there's a letter circulating from the Honorable Jobet Kobe Davis, where she has written to the Commission of Police making a complaint. Let's see if I can get that letter, have Aaron read that. And it goes into our conversation we'll be having today about how we see ourselves, what we want ourselves to look like, especially when you interacting with figures. But read that for me, please, Aaron. Yeah, go ahead.
The document is titled Formal Complaint, Criminal Libel Against Miss Brittany Harris. I write in respect to the above-mentioned matter in a Facebook post by Ms. Brittany Harris through her Facebook page, Island T. For ease of reference, I have attached the said Facebook post in a flyer advertising Ms. Harris as the host of Island T Real, the talk show. The Facebook post accuses me directly and indirectly of corrupt practices in public life as a minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and having an extramarital affair. These are all allegations I deny and constitute libel and defamation. I consider the above allegations an attempt to smear my public image and request police action be taken on an urgent basis against Ms. Harris. I thank you for your prompt attention to this urgent matter. Yours sincerely, Jobeth Colby Davis.
And I just wanted to read that in the record, especially in the reference to what we were talking about earlier. Right? We need to be guarded on what we say publicly about people.
Absolutely. I think this would be a great time for Mrs. Jobeth Colby Davis to encourage both her political party, the opposition, and all third parties to dismantle all the entities anecdotally or informally known as war rooms.
I don't know if they're going to dismantle
right?
the war room.
Though. A great way to show a model of how to shift the culture about how we talk about people and people who have public profiles, right? A great way to do that is that while you are simultaneously using government systems and the law to provide resolution, you can shift the culture by immediately having your party dismantle all of its war rooms.
That ain't gonna happen here.
And to encourage or demand or compel all of the other political parties to dismantle all of their war rooms. And I would start with figuring out, identifying the person who created the video that started with the words Shane and Robin pulling train on the PLP, produced for the most recent PLP convention, by identifying them and removing them from all media teams, dismantling all war rooms, constructing proper media marketing teams for your party, and then publish that model so the FNM and the COI and all of the other parties can have a great working model, one that creates a safer environment for all Bahamians.
The political arena can be very disgusting. I must commend right now, since you even brought it up, our former Prime Minister, Hubert Minnis. He went through a lot. I mean, that the war rooms, whoever crafted it, called him everything but the son of God and basically involved his intimate family in terms of their political campaign. And he bared it. He bared it, took it on the chin, and pushed forward. Right. And you call for a change in how we do politics in terms of the war room. I'm not sure if such will happen again for this election.
So then why are we complaining? How can you make a complaint if you understand that the organization that you are a part of is complicit in said action, that they do the same thing to other people? What type of conversation are we having?
And perhaps we need to have that conversation. But let's go to
No, because we ain't having. I'm just going to compel the Honorable Minister.
Remind me.
To dismantle, to cause and compel your party leaders to dismantle the existing war rooms as a first step in the right direction.
Let's go to this call, and I want to read this text next. This call is texting about the National Honors, and I want to read that. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Neary, and good morning again, Ms. Green.
Morning, cuz.
Never a dull moment in this country, eh? Never a dull moment. Sorry to hear Sparky got born again, man. I mean,
hold on, well, cause you caused me
mean,
not
being... Not like
you sorry to hear he got banned, or you sorry to see that he... Okay, yeah, everything cool, cousin. Everything cool.
That we could, that things could employ me, and, you know, because I mean, after all that, I mean, he's still going to get himself seemingly in some type of problems. I mean, I don't condone whatever it is he did. Because if he did something that justified with him getting banned, and I mean, that's just got to be the way it is. You know what I mean? The consequences got to be for your actions, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, you had a show last week, man, and Ms. Green had said something to you, and your response to Ms. Green, you know what I mean, had me a little trouble. Ms. Green had asked you something, and your response was something like, you don't believe that they've been out of space yet, that they don't have the technology, something like that. You said something like that, right? I thought to myself, how could CA say that? And I had asked CA one time about a great lie, and your response was something like, Jesus is not God, right? But CA, but if you say in CA that you don't believe that the technology or whatever to leave, et cetera, then what that was, what the Apollo 11 thing was with Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins in July of 69. You know what I mean? Well, I mean, they said they've been to the moon, CA. You know what I mean? And the thing about it is this, CA, this question, this is the point I want to bring to you. If you could say that, then obviously then you can't believe in the moon landing, which means that then that's a possible deception that America has put on the world. And if it is a deception that America has put on the world, that means that ain't no small one. That's a big one. So it can't be the first one. You know what I'm saying? So you got to ask yourself what else it is that they have lied about. You know what I'm saying? You got me little puzzled. You probably got to explain that. I mean, I wouldn't mind you explaining that because like I said before, you say you don't believe that they could leave, but in 1969, they said they'd go on there and a couple of times afterwards, you know? And Ms. Green, what I wanted to say was that Steve McKinney, some years back, was talking to Dr. Gomez. And Dr. Gomez, I think he was head of the Ministry of Health or whatever the case may be. And around that time, because I had called and I had asked Mr. Gomez a question dealing with what they were dealing with, because I think there's some people who were from Canada and they wanted to come down here and test some type of experimental cancer drug on our females. And I was like, you know, well, why you don't test it on your own people? You know, why you want to come here? And my question to Mr. Gomez was, why is he allowing it? Is he allowing it because he wants his name to go down in some type of historic thing? You know, so like I said before, when I see things going on, and later on down the line, you see things occurring, you know, you have to wonder about certain things, Ms. Green, because like I said before, I personally do not believe that black people are susceptible to all of these diseases that we lead the world in America. I feel as if, because you know what I mean, the white races are more sickly people than us.
Caller, I feel what you're saying. There are two black people in this room right now, but I could be honest with you. One is far more blacker than the other.
You don't have to talk about yourself like that.
It's okay. It's the truth. You, sir, have far more African DNA than I do.
I got
plenty European DNA. I tell you all, the king.
You are more white than I am.
I didn't want to say it like that. Man, let me say it the other way. You just blacker me, and I'm okay with that,
yes.
Right? And so I think that's what you are attempting to articulate, caller. What you're seeing is that while I identify as black and I identify as African descent, I am not as African descent as a Mr. Newry is, which means that I also have some European descent DNA in me, which means then that if I do, I would be susceptible to the things that people of European descent are susceptible to.
On the other hand, I tend to say all manner of things on this radio station, man. It depends on how I feel that day. It goes from Q to Z
to
me being an alien in myself. Being an alien myself, or me being shot down a lightning bolt and was not being born.
Mm-hmm.
Most people listen to it and just say, okay, that's Nereen, and go on. Few people actually tend to call back and say, oh, okay.
Because I different. See, when I say I'm a Chikchani catcher, I come from a long line of Chikchani catchers.
Yes.
That's the truth.
Yes.
That ain't a lie.
No.
A lot of people say, what is Green talking about today?
But then again, I had family members who used to sell ghosts. But then people say, that's not true. But when you go in the history books, you see they selling ghosts, reading Andrus.
Yes.
But let's go back to the callers. Yes, I had family members selling ghosts. Anyway, if you won't be fool enough to buy it.
I just...
Go ahead, caller. How you doing? Caller girl, what?
Hello.
Go ahead.
Good morning.
Yeah, we're having an interesting conversation. CA, they're selling trips to heaven and all now.
That's where it is.
But listen, as it relates to the situation with Kobe Davis, right? You know, I don't know if I'm a can of paint, but, you know, and I'm not a comment on it, but what I am noticing is that it's the status quo bias when it comes to this particular model as to the civil liability or whatever, right? Because, you know, the average person, this goes on all the time. But you know what I'm saying? So there is a status quo bias along this model. And as it relates to freedom of expression, expression is not free. There's no such thing as freedom of expression, and there's no such thing really as freedom of the press. As we can look back at Patrice Lumumba, the speech that he made before the British prince or whatever who visited the Congo.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no such thing as freedom, because we all pay the price then. Even if it was a slave trying to incite something, and he was speaking. The problem is, I hope it is, the fact that during the pandemic, when I was calling the talk shows and dispensing truths, right? It was a guy, I remember his voice, and it was a number of them. They were lambasting me and talking bad to me, and they were saying, Bond 52, you see, because I was a non-funded pundit. But they didn't, not one of them apologized. See, we facetiously apologized. Nobody else, you know. See, most people don't understand what I'm saying. And so I shared this with Aaron before privately. A lot of people wanted me to stop calling Aaron and play hating on me for calling Aaron. But they were saying what Aaron's preference was. But that didn't bother me. Why should that bother me? I appreciate Aaron Green's mind. And she contributes more than what she... See, I'm not that simple. I don't come here to be that simple on the air. And so even as it relates to the topic that you guys are having with miscegenation and light skin, dark skin, you realize, you know, that this is a repercussion of the colonial masses. As a matter of fact, they have our genes. We don't have their genes. And so this is what we mean. This is why they're enjoying it, because this is what miscegenation was. This is actually a tactic to keep us, to keep the schism. You see, and so I'm so glad I'm well read that I can't be spoon-fed and misled. And so even as it relates to Haitians, it's not Haitian descent. It's of African descent. It doesn't matter if you were dropped in Jamaica and et cetera, wherever you were dropped. It's still African descent. So it's just some narrative that they're pushing here. But we didn't invent this model of citizenship and parameters and all these international laws. We did not invent all of these things. Are Europeanized, you know. That's what I'm saying. So we can't just keep adhering to these things. And so I have my, like Howard, line. I listen to these people because the way they think. You know, we get too personal as human beings in this human journey. So much so, even if Trump says something that's true, because you don't like him, it's not true. So I was saying the truth. Nobody, but you notice when I talk with the pundits right there, and you hear what they would say, how they would comment about me, right? My conversations with the pundits was recounted, you know. I was not dismayed. You see what I'm saying? So we must listen to the deviant mind, because that's the way to uncover things. You just can't listen to status quo narratives all the time. That's the way Google works. That's the way brainwashing and inculcation works. You know, bless up.
Okay, thanks very much, Mr. Chu. I have one more call, but let me read this, right? It says, good morning, Mr. Nuri. I attended the national honors on Monday, and I congratulate all those who were honored. My disappointment is the fact that honorees and guests were given a specific dress code. However, many persons were just casually dressed. Additionally, the hooting and the shouting out of honorees' names, etc., made the affair seem ghetto-ish. I would have expected a more dignified affair. Thank you. I can give that, understand what the text is saying, but we are not used. Not when I say not used, I don't want it to defame us. I'm saying that we need to be educated on the proper protocols on what is expected of us, that when we go into those spaces, we understand what it is expected of us. So I don't blame the people who were there cheering on their loved ones. Just I guess that they're not aware of the protocols.
You take the call and then I can respond if I remember what I wanted to say.
Let's go to the next caller. Go ahead, caller. Call girl once. Caller, go ahead. No, there's no caller. Let's press that button. Nothing? Nothing? Okay, go on.
Press it again.
No, they ain't there.
Okay.
Go ahead, Aaron.
It's a very interesting text. I think it's worthy of interrogation. I don't want people to think that this interrogation is light or trivial, right? Or just being facetious or tongue-in-cheek. So two things. Is it too ghetto for Bahama? Is that what it is? Is it too ghetto for Bahama? Would that behavior have been appropriate
It's a space where the governor general is at.
Would it have been appropriate in the government house grounds that belong to the people?
No, it wouldn't have been appropriate in the government house grounds.
Is it appropriate with Mudaprat?
No, it's not appropriate with Mudaprat.
Okay, what if I say to you that although that acknowledging that the people who received honors this year are worthy of acknowledgement, mm-hmm. They're worthy of honor. They're worthy of award, right? But at the same time, that the government has ghettoized the entire affair.
Okay.
That what is supposed to be an extremely special designation, it's supposed to be extremely limited because what you have to do to be considered a national hero. See, even though we have the six, the top honor, they're all honors, right? Mm-hmm. You're all national heroes. And it appears as if the entire exercise has been co-opted by the political class and is being used as a tool to tokenize and award people, right? As opposed to the recognition of the extreme, of the utmost, of the best. Right?
Let's interrogate that at another time and go in detail with that. I love the conversation. I want to read this before we run out of time because things are changing on this Saturday, right? Your Saturdays are about to get a whole lot more interesting. I'm just making sure everyone knows that. On all new Saturday lineup is here. Our all-new Saturday lineup is here, beginning this Saturday on Guardian Radio. The eye-opener at 9 a.m. will be joined by a whole new crop of shows. The Accredited, which is from the 10th Year Seniors at 11 a.m. The Happy Hour with Deandra Cartwright is going to be at 12 p.m. The return of Tell It with Stania Davis is going to be at 1 p.m. And all new editions of University Drive now at 2 p.m. And the new show, Our Blue Bahamas from Brief, which is going to be at 3 p.m. A full slate of amazing shows this and every Saturday on Guardian Radio. Guardian Radio on Saturday is going to be just as hot as weekdays. We're going to be promoting that for the next couple of days, let people know all the hot shows coming up. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure we read that, let them know that I see Deandra is back. Stania's back. Of course, the eye-opener there. Yeah. I mean, really hot shows.
I'm getting ready to ask you if you want to do a weekend reaction show to the radio shows on Guardian.
You believe I don't have a life? I'd be busy, man.
But you...
I'd be busy.
I mean, that's what you said. I'm still looking for somebody to take me trick-or-treating.
We work on that.
To the fancy places.
Yes, let's go to this caller here. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Good morning, good morning.
Aaron.
Yes, ma'am.
How you doing?
I'm good, thank you, ma'am.
Congratulations to your mommy.
Yes, ma'am.
On having received one of those awards.
Yes, ma'am.
Congratulations.
Absolutely.
Now, I don't know. I don't know how much time we have. And I don't know if this is in place. But I want to offer a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you able to say anything concerning Sparky? That's off limits.
You can speak to... Well, it's Mr. Newry.
Go ahead, go ahead. Make it quick because you're running out of time. But go ahead.
Mr. Newry,
mm-hmm.
You know, Sparky, you know, he's one of those persons who, in terms of the talk shows, when they were first started, there were persons like himself and Pawpaw and Pumpkin Eater and all those. They were the ones that really, really, I think... help to bring talk shows alive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sparky, I hope he isn't offended, but I'm going to volunteer something. I think rather than you all banning him, I think you could use the shows to help him. Because I feel that he has something to offer. He means well, but he gets carried away. And the show could be a little therapeutic for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, please don't ban him.
He doesn't ban.
Ms. Kalmer, I want to say I really appreciate your intervention. I appreciate your attempt to maintain community. I appreciate this in Older Persons Month. I am equally disappointed in Sparky's behavior because I appreciate the same sentiment you shared, that Sparky brings to the radio space something special, but the thing that he did is intolerable. In the midst of the rape culture crisis we are experiencing, it would be unconscionable of me, it would be unprofessional of me, both as a media personality and as an intersectional human rights advocate, to not take a strong stance on this. However, I will say that I appreciate your intervention, and I am open to considering a possible reconciliation, right? But that has to be an active process on both parts, that Sparky would have to make steps, and not just to me, not just to the station manager, not just to the other hosts, not just to the Guardian company, but to the wider public. Because my job as a radio host is to guard the airwaves from offensive and repugnant content. Right? And if he is willing to do it to me, he's willing to do it to anybody. And so, again, I appreciate the intervention, the reminder that community is what's most important. And if an option arises that I think is suitable and would be effective, I am open to it. Thank you so much.
Very much. I know you would be tolerant, and I know you would understand. And Sparky, I'm appealing to you. They're willing to give you a chance. Man, you have so much to offer. Live by example.
You can call Howard. You can call Howard, and you can call Naughty.
See? Hello?
You can call Howard, and you can call Naughty.
Thank you, Ms. Gunn.
Anyway, because I'm different. I don't forgive easily. Anyway, this has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. So much other talk shows. People go call, man. You ain't going to have to call this one.
Say long live the king.
God is good. Have a wonderful day.